As Amazon has been looking for a location for its second headquarters, I guess they've been doing it for about 7 months, several months now. Maybe looking is a bad way of putting it. More like shopping. Shopping for the best offers from states and municipalities. Because look, Amazon understands how much leverage it has and how cities are starving for transformational projects like this one. It used to be about location, location, location. Can we get our products to market? Will we have enough skilled workers and so on? Now it seems to be about, well, property tax abatements, tax increment finance districts, infrastructure improvements, training grants, corporate income tax credits, and even in some states, employers being able to pocket the employee's state income tax payments. And while Amazon is not the only one doing it, they are one of the biggest. And, you know, there are some who are saying maybe it's time we stop doing this. And I've been saying this for a long time. Maybe it's stop giving our tax dollars to the corporate coffers. And maybe Amazon is a good start. And a year ago, the people over at Good Jobs First put out a report titled Amazon Fool Us Twice. Will Amazon fool us twice? Why state and local governments should stop subsidizing the online giant's growing distribution network. That's why I've asked Greg LeRoy to come talk with us, co-author of the report and executive director of Good Jobs First. Greg, thanks for taking time for us.
Great to see you again, Rick.
You know, I see this going on, and I see this, again, handing off of massive amounts of taxpayer money to these big corporations that don't need it. And in Amazon's case, we already know they're going to go to where the location is. Why are we still doing it?
Well, there's two crazy things going on with Amazon, right? As we said in our study, you know, everybody knows they have to have a gazillion fulfillment centers now because of the Prime business model and the fact they're moving to a rapid delivery model, not just a sales tax avoidance model, which means they have to have these things everywhere near where there's a lot of Prime subscribers. So last year alone, the company got about two dozen tax break deals on these warehouses that they're putting everywhere, despite the fact everybody knows they have to have them. And now the same is true of the HQ2 deal. If you study corporate headquarters location, which we do a lot, you have to go where you can get that many brainiacs, right? If you're going to really hire 40 or 50,000 executive level talent, you got to go to a place that's got a lot of high powered business schools and law schools and accounting schools and advertising agencies and other places and other companies, other corporate headquarters already there that you can steal people from. There's not a very big list of cities that fits that description, frankly, in America. So we think that they just are staging this auction in a very public way so that when they decide to go to the place that they probably already knew was on the short list to begin with, they'll have lots of pressure for lots of huge tax breaks.
And huge payouts. You know, I have a friend who lives in Detroit, and he's basically telling me, give the baby and the bathwater away. We need this in the city. We need it to revitalize. It's going to bring other industries. And even if we lose on this, the gains from everything else that will come around it will more than pay for it. Has that happened before? I mean, that kind of thinking, has it worked out in the past?
Rarely. I mean, obviously deals differ a lot, but you know, corporate headquarters aren't like an auto factory. That is, there's not, you know, four or five jobs upstream making dashboards and tires and engines before they get assembled in the auto plant. Corporate headquarters use a lot of business services and they pay well, so the ripple effects downstream from the buying power of the people that work there are good, but they're not the same as a big industrial project. And if you overpay for the deal, then the risk is that you'll never break even, right? Because whoever gets this deal, whatever city Amazon chooses, is going to incur a lot of new costs. We know from studies that most of the people taking those jobs aren't going to be current unemployed residents or even current residents of that metro area.
Right.
They're going to move in and they're going to bring kids and you're going to have to hire teachers and widen lanes and build classrooms and pick up trash and respond to 911 calls and all that stuff. All that's expensive. But if Amazon's, paying nothing property taxes, nothing sales taxes, nothing income taxes, maybe even a negative income tax rate, guess who gets stuck with all those new expenses?
Well, the taxpayer. And, one of the things that I was looking at is I think Detroit was even considering creating a second transit system separately just for this deal. And I'm like, well, we could use really good transit, but I don't know that this is the reason for it. I mean, it's one of these things that just... The risk seems to be borne by the taxpayer.
Yeah, that's right. Why would you create a separate transit system? Or in the case of Fresno, California, even a privatized fund to build public amenities that would all be branded with Amazon? You know, the privatization of part of your tax base, that's nuts. If we're going to have a better transit system, it should be serving all employers.
You know,
and all working families.
Yeah, yep. I'm with you. You know, but I have people telling me, well, you know, we need to get government out of things, but yet it seems the corporate interests are more than thrilled to have government in it as long as they're lining their pockets.
It's really a big transfer of wealth. I mean, this is the extreme, what we call mega deal. We have a whole subset in our database called mega deals, $50 million or more. Many of them are hundreds of millions and sometimes billions of dollars. And the average price tag for these deals, when we can put a price tag on them, is now $658,000 per job in lost government revenue.
Wow.
That means taxpayers can never break even, right? The average person working in a microchip fabrication plant or a chemical plant or an auto plant or a corporate headquarters is never going to pay $658,000 more in state and local taxes than public services they and their families consume. There's just no way taxpayers can ever break even. So the only thing we can say for sure that's really going on here is a big transfer of wealth from taxpayers to shareholders.
That's just mind-blowing because, you look, over a decade, you're probably not going to make over $600,000. It's amazing to me. And I look at this Foxconn deal out in Wisconsin. And this week, originally they said it would cost $3 billion. Now they're saying that it could be as high as $4.5 billion for something like 3,000 jobs.
Yes. The $3 billion was just the state price tag. But as you mentioned before, TIF districts and property tax abatements from local governments there, as well as a bunch of infrastructure money they're going to spend just dedicated to that facility, that's adding a huge amount to the price tag. So the cost per job is going up all the time.
I mean, it's really remarkable to me. Is it, in your view, is there any good that comes of these? You know, look, I understand that, you know, local municipalities are going to make decisions on what they think is best for them. But, you know, in looking at this, are there any of these deals that work out for the local municipalities, for the taxpayers? Or is there anything that benefits us from this?
At the mega deal level, you know, it's really hard to see net benefits for taxpayers. There certainly are some incentive deals that we think make sense. You know, if you're talking about bringing grocery stores to a food desert, that's a great thing. And the private marketplace isn't going to make that happen. If you're talking about taking a citizen returning from incarceration and helping him or her get new job skills so they have a better standard of living and are less likely to commit a crime again, that's a smart investment. The marketplace is never going to do that. The trouble is when you loosen the rules and make it easy, make these things into windfalls, guess who's going to get the most? Guess who's going to hire the most consultants and lawyers and take the big bucks?
Yeah, I was reading a couple of stories in preparation to talk with you about, you know, the different law firms that are preparing these you know, these enormous documents, you know, 1,800 pages long of all of the things that the city or the local municipality is going to give to Amazon. And I'm going, what happened to just you can buy the land and build your factory here?
Yeah, no, some places put a lot of money and hired special consultants to perform their bids. And that's our other big problem right now, right? We know that they got 238 bids, but only about 30 of them have been disclosed yet. And even some of those that have been disclosed, a lot of the details have been redacted, you know, or covered up. And we think that's crazy. People claim that they're actually negotiating with Amazon, and therefore these are, you know, pending negotiations, to which I say BS. You know, nobody's actually negotiating with the company right now. You're just responding to a public request for proposals. Maybe at the shortlist time, when there's a lot more details being exchanged, you could justify hiding some stuff. But we think that whenever Amazon winnows the list and announces, you know, they're down to 10 or 12 or whatever, we think those 220 other places should all disclose their bids. And we will be demanding that.
No, I think it's important because as a local taxpayer, if my community were bidding for this, I'd want to know what they were willing to give up, how much of my children's future and education cost, how much of my infrastructure, how much we were going to sacrifice just to have this golden ticket.
Amen. Amen. That's exactly right.
And, you know, the question is, you know, you talk to the average taxpayer, and I have these conversations quite often because that's just kind of how I am. And, you know, I've yet to find anyone who goes, other than my friend in Detroit, who's just really on the extreme right wing politically, I've yet to find the average working class person who says, yeah, this is going to benefit us. Outside of getting a couple of jobs, the vast majority of people I see aren't thrilled with this stuff. So how do we stop it? How do we change this?
Well, so there is a coalition of community groups that came together and signed a public statement. The website is called OurHQ2WishList.org. About 130 groups have now signed a public letter to the CEO of Amazon, Jeff Bezos, saying, look, you know, we love technology, we love convenience. Who doesn't like to shop online? But if you're going to come to our community, we expect you to pay your taxes. And we also have some community benefits demands on you to help cushion the blow that we would expect from such an arrival. Because if you look at places like Seattle, where they've got a big footprint now, enormous upward pressure on housing prices, enormous gentrification problems, especially. So prominent on that list is funding to preserve and create more affordable housing, better transit access so that more people can compete for the jobs that already live there, things like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to benefit the local community somehow. You know, I grew up in Cleveland during, you know, most of my life, and I remember when George Voinovich became mayor. There was this push to do this. They were giving out, you know, 25-year tax abatements. They were giving, you know, the baby the bathwater, the faucet, you know, you name it, all the plumbing. They were giving it all away. And companies came by the droves. And, well, the school systems struggled. Those companies all brought employees with them who moved to the suburbs. It no one has been able to show me or make a cogent argument on how it really benefited the city other than to drain it of resources. And, oh, by the way, give away free power because of, you know, Dennis Kucinich saving Muni Light.
Yeah, this issue has been a very contentious issue in Cleveland and all of Northeast Ohio. You actually had a ballot initiative under the next mayor, Mayor White, there trying to protect the schools from so much money they were losing. And groups like Policy Matters Ohio now in Cleveland continue to crusade on these issues. It's a very much a live issue in all across your state, really, in Ohio, no, Pennsylvania, a lot of the Rust Belt states.
Absolutely. But, you know, the thing that gets me is it's sold to us as, you know, this is going to revitalize. This is the answer. This is the way forward. This is how we're going to rebuild out of the ashes. We'll be the phoenix coming out of the ashes. And yet it just seems to be more of a con and more of down the drain.
Yeah, I mean, to me, the frame here is disinvestment versus reinvestment. You know, I backed into this whole issue as a plant closing activist beginning in the early 1980s in Chicago. And we trained people how to detect factories that were at risk of closing by teaching them how to smell out, you know, and find out disinvestment, not just letting the machinery run down, but cheating on, you know, skimping on your property taxes, transferring managers out, not replacing new product lines. And I get nervous when companies don't want to pay their taxes. When you look at the ALEC agenda for disinvestment and for permanently strangling state budgets and never allowing public services to keep up with the cost of living, that's a recipe for disinvesting. It's saying we don't see a future here. We don't care how good the schools are or are not. We don't care if transit really gets us from here to there on time. We don't care about the infrastructure long term. We're not acting like we see a future here. That's what I take away from that agenda.
Yeah, I mean, it's not just Amazon. Just to be clear, we're not just picking on Amazon, right?
Right.
I mean,
absolutely.
I mean, you can go to your website, goodjobsfirst.org, and there's tons of these deals that have gone on that I think have cost taxpayers way too much. And I think if it became more to light, I think where are my Tea Party friends? Where are the people with the pitchforks? Because we're being ripped off.
Well, there is a left-right kumbaya on this, and there's a handful of conservative, market-oriented state think tanks that have weighed in on this issue in states like Arizona and New Mexico and Michigan. You know, often the rest of their agenda is very hostile to public services generally, but on incentives, some of them have been very active.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of it, though, it just seems to me that I just don't see how you make a good argument for $600,000 per job.
Yeah, I don't think you can defend it.
I just can't. So what do we do about this? Last line of questioning. What can we, as taxpayers, what can we as citizens do about this? I know this seems like, you know, so far above all of our heads. What do we do?
Well, I think we're certainly busy making a poster child out of Amazon right now because we think it really exemplifies all the structural problems with what's wrong. The fact that we don't have any federal leadership on this issue, that Uncle Sam just lets the states rip each other's guts out. The fact that we're overspending on mega deals, the fact that we're not disclosing bids, we're not letting the public really participate in the formulation of these bids. It's all being done, you know, in the dark of night. And then community benefits, that is, whenever the shortlist arises and when the final city is chosen, we should be holding Amazon to a high bar. And again, with the idea that every company should be held to a high bar if they're going to ask for any breaks like this. I wish I could suggest some sort of federal remedy or interstate remedy. This is certainly a live debate internally for us, but there was a very adverse Supreme Court case 12 years ago that got us nowhere. It actually involved Governor Voinovich in a deal that came out of Toledo, Ohio, and ended up at the U.S. Supreme Court. So right now we're agitating for disclosure, sunshine, community benefits, and in some cases even ceasefire agreements in metro areas like Kansas City, where companies are getting paid just to jump back and forth across the state line because you have a job market that straddles a state line.
Yeah, it's crazy what we've allowed these companies to do to us as taxpayers and how they've used our government against us. It's just amazing stuff. But Greg, I appreciate the work you guys do. Thanks so much for pointing this out.
Great to see you again, Rick.
I really appreciate it. No, again, you look at this and the reality is we're being held hostage. It used to be if a business wanted to come in, you had to have a charter and you had to make an argument for the public good. Now it's, hey, taxpayer, how much are you going to give me so I can bring my business? I can be the benevolent employer and bring you a few jobs. Amazing stuff. I'd love to hear your thoughts. You can email me, Rick@thericksmithshow.com. Quick break. Right back.